You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kevin Clark, Justin Tinsley, Marcel Louis-Jacques, Woody Page. Last night's brawl between the Rangers and Devils. Everybody knew it was going to happen. They didn't have to wait long because here's video of the guys getting smelling salts before the opening puck drop. Drop the puck, drop the gloves. Let's go around the horn.
The UFC broke out.
It was full line fighting. Everybody was full line fighting. Look at this. 8 ejections in the game. Cheers from the Madison Square Garden crowd through it all. As I said, everyone knew this was going to happen. The history between these two teams, the history of this season. Hockey has moved away from brawling and goonery, National Panel. You know this, but hockey fans clearly loved this last night. Kevin Clark, around the horn to you. Can the NHL love it too?
As the former enforcer for the Junior Orlando Solar Bears for about 5 years, I'm
Solar Bears.
To speak
love that.
On this. This is how you generate casual attention. There's all sorts of great storylines in the NHL this season. Auston Matthews is chasing 70 goals. But this is the thing where all my friends who are not hockey fans are texting me about. Avalanche Red Wings from the 90s. What do we remember? These line brawls, these dudes that hate each other. It's the shortest way to generate quick superstars. I love this. I think you can't have fighting every period. That's just not sustainable. We had that in the old days of the NHL. But you can have two teams hate each other and generate interest from that.
So you think the NHL should lean into this? By the way, that mustache, cooler than a Solar Bears toenails. Love it today, KC. Woody Page, I go to you. Can the NHL lean into this?
Should mass suspensions, particularly one to a guy who was a healthy scratch for 3 consecutive games and just suddenly is put back into the lineup at the beginning to start fights? This reminds me of the old 6-team league in the National Hockey League. That was the kind of enforcements that they did back then, and the hockey fans really did love it, and they still want part of it. And that's why they go to games, hoping this will happen, just like people who go to NASCAR want to see wrecks every once in a while. But last night, that got completely out of hand. It was beyond, Kevin, the Wings and the Avalanche in the old days in the 90s. But I think that the league has to take some serious action here and realize that a guy that they had suspended for 3 games, that wasn't enough. Another 5 games for him and
speaking
1 game
about Matt
for all
the
players
of course,
involved.
The great fighter for the Rangers, who had, I think it was a 4-game suspension previously. All right, so you think the NHL should want some distance from this. Marcel Louis-Jacques, to you.
Yeah, it's probably not going to make their marketing campaign when they're, you know, playing commercials to the league and advertising playoffs coming up. But it's kind of the quiet part because we all know hockey fans love this stuff. Like, this is what you live for. The fans who did not see the fight and who are missing these 8 players who were ejected, they're not mad because those 8 players are gone. They're mad because they missed the brawl. Like, this is the admission here. This is the ticket here. They love that. Like, and it's unique to hockey. No other sport do you get to fight and get your anger out like that and get more than a slap on the wrist. You're going to get suspended. You're getting fined. You're getting in a lot of trouble, maybe even cut or traded. In hockey, it is kind of encouraged. So now I don't think this is something the NHL is going to lead with, but we all know that.
And Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, first of all, Tony, give yourself some points for that Outkast reference. I heard that and I respect that. But I think there's 2 different conversations going on right now. Across sports media landscape, we're having this discussion of who's allowed to do what and by whom. In this case, we're talking about fighting. And there was a New York Post column today that said Rempe did just fine in the bout. we know we can't have those similar type of conversations in other sports. But the other conversation is, yeah, as Marcel just said, they won't lead with this, but this is part of the culture of that sport. And when you look at the backstory of this, we knew a fight was going to happen. Yeah. Rempe dished out two concussions to Devils over the course of the season, so it's natural for the Devils to want to get their lick back. And as Rempe's walking off the ice, he's gassing the crowd up with the bloody mouth saying, let's go. So this is just great for the rivalry in terms of this specific rivalry.
And for the Rangers, a comeback win, a win that they wanted and needed, they're playoff bound and moving around in the standings. So we'll take a horn there. We'll move on. Celtics now clinching home court in the NBA last night. Let's talk about it. They destroyed Oklahoma City. There's 6 games left in the season, and they're 13 up in their conference. We haven't seen a lead that large since the 96 Bulls. Justin, what does it mean?
Look, 60 wins is impressive regardless of the history in previous seasons. Home court advantage throughout the playoffs is always impressive. This is a team that had 16 of those 60 wins by 25 or more points. That's the most in a season in NBA history. So, and they're healthy going into the playoffs. If you're a Celtics fan, this is the best possible scenario. But they know 60 wins is nice. But the last 16 are the ones that actually count. They know this is the difference between being remembered in history as a what if or somebody that's cemented their own chapter. And that's what the Celtics know more than anybody.
Kevin Clark, on what the Celtics have done this season, the clinch throughout already.
Yeah, there's all these basketball take nihilists who say nothing matters till June. Well, it's not June. We can only look at what's in front of us. And right now, the Celtics have the 4th best point differential in NBA history. 8 of the top 12 teams in that stat who have had double-digit point differentials have won the NBA championship. They've had more 30-point leads than 10-point deficits. This is a historic team blowing everybody out, controlling the game. This is history, and I think we need to appreciate it instead of saying, do it in the playoffs. They're gonna.
Woody Page, home of the champions in Denver. Do you see this Celtics team as the lock-on favorite here with all those accolades and superlatives?
Yes, even over the Denver Nuggets. But if you look at the numbers behind the numbers, and I'm talking about point differentials that Kevin Clark brought up, they're 1-2 in the league in that. And they are 1-2 in a number of different percentages of shooting and playing defense efficiency. So I think that would be a great series. But the Celtics do have the edge. And what I liked about watching them last night was Porzingis played all out. They went all out. They weren't just coasting into the end of the season, the last 5 or 6 games. They're really trying to hone what they want to do. However, you got to remember, even though they'll have the home court advantage throughout the playoffs, remind the Miami Heat what happened.
Yeah, no, they lost at home last year. Yeah, right. Woody, 21 years working together, you still surprise me. I would have had you locked down saying, you're underestimating the heart of a champion, yada, yada, yada. You can't be disrespecting the Denver Nuggets like that. You believe the Celtics are the favorite right now. Marcel Louis-Jacques, I'll ask you the same question.
Look, and it's not just the 60 wins that are impressive. It's the 33-3 mark at home. They're not just protecting home court. They are dominating it with an iron fist. They've played 27 games since the last time they've lost at home. They've won 23 of them. All 11 of their games at home wins, and not just wins by an average of 25.3 points. These are blowouts, Tony. Of course, they deserve their praise. They are probably the favorite to win the NBA Finals, but you got to remember, last year they were 32-9 at home in the regular season. They were 5-7 at home in the playoffs. So to Kevin's point, it does matter what happens in the playoffs. It does matter what happens in May and June. The 73-9 Warriors, did we talk about the regular season? Or did we talk about the fact that they blew a 3-1 lead in the finals? You have to finish.
You were setting me up there. You were talking about all the great things, but now you do believe that it doesn't matter that they've had such a strong season because the history, Woody, I'll give you the last word here. The history doesn't suggest so well for them at home.
Well, Boston's healthy. The Nuggets are not healthy. Without Jamal Murray, they can't even get to the finals, much less think about
winning. Look at Woody, lowering expectation right before he has to make his pick. I see what you're doing here. We've been horned. We'll move on. One more story. It's the baseball news of the day. Oakland A's move announcement. And the announcement is they'll be playing the next 3 seasons in Sacramento. Beyond that, the plan, and as some of you have called it, the scheme, Las Vegas. Oakland fans heartbroken today. Sacramento's ballpark seats 10,000. That grassy knoll in the background allows for more standing room or sitting on the grass in the outfield. Marcel, does this make sense? Does this make it better or worse?
First of all, Tony, I got to say, I'm happy for the city of Sacramento. This is something, bringing an MLB team, specifically the A's, is something that had been talked about locally for probably the past 20, 25 years. Shocking to know that this stadium topic is not a new topic in Northern California.
I appreciate that. It's You're awesome Sacramento born and raised. You can understand. Oakland fans,
it's a great venue.
May feel like that is dancing on a grave here, so please.
Yeah, from a macro standpoint, no, it's a terrible look for the MLB, and it's sad to see that this is how far the Oakland and the Athletics relationship has become. This is how untenable it's become, that they cannot come to an agreement, you know, to lease a stadium for another few years or even just sell the team. It's embarrassing. When they move to Vegas, too, it's not going to improve the actual franchise. A terrible organization, a terrible situation all the
time. Woody Page?
Oh, it's a terrible decision. If you were going to not go to Las Vegas because you got to wait on them building a ballpark, you go to San Francisco across the bridge, right across the bridge, and play there, and the Oakland fans could still come to the games. If you don't want to do that, come to Denver. We're looking for a Major League Baseball franchise here, and we'd like to see that shared
Coors Field. All right. I know what you're doing
here. But I would just say this. That, Marcel, you want them there so badly, change the nickname from the A's to the Pimentos. Sacramento Pimentos, I think. And you're going to share the stadium with the minor league club? I bet the minor league club outdraws the A's.
Kevin Clark, we've talked about this for a year, for 2 years, the malodorous stench of these negotiations throughout all, how Oakland A's fans have felt stabbed in the back. What is today's news?
Well, first of all, to piggyback off of Marcel's point, congratulations to Sacramento because the A's will be leaving in 4 years. They won't have to deal with this. I don't know why baseball's priority is coddling bad owners. John Fisher today said that this was the most intimate ballpark in baseball. That's true. It's also the most embarrassing. Now, there's an argument to be made he's also leaving the most embarrassing. But the through line is John Fisher is embarrassing. And the other leagues who have done this, the San Diego moving into a soccer stadium in Los Angeles, the Coyotes moving into a college arena to play at Arizona State, there's at least been a plan there. In Los Angeles, they were developing a ticket base. They were just getting some semblance of fandom. Arizona's trying to work out their arena situation. With this is just aimless. This is embarrassing, and it cheapens the sport.
Justin Tinsley.
This is embarrassing on the likes of which should be embarrassing for Major League Baseball, who has had their fair share of embarrassing scandals over the years. But this really points to Rob Manfred. This rests on your resume, this rests on your legacy, sir, and I hope you understand that, because now this is an orphan franchise. But you know what I really feel bad for? The city of Oakland. They've lost their NFL, NBA, and MLB teams within the last decade, and that's really heartbreaking if you're an Oakland resident.
Seeing the fan festival last month and the support from the locals in Oakland, and then that being falling on hard ears, and John Fisher and the ownership group, the A's have turned the mentions off for most of the last month, effectively erasing their fans. So I'll give the last word to the score bug from yesterday's game. Boo! John Fisher.
Oh, wow.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Freestyle Libre.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! making splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
News of the day for the New York Knicks, not good. Julius Randle officially out now for the rest of the season. In playoffs, he'll get surgery on his dislocated shoulder. He tried to rehab it over the last 2 months. Ian Begley reported he was devastated when the specialist told him he wouldn't be able to get the shoulder to a level where he could play again this year. Knicks hanging on to the 5 seed in the 2 months he's missed. Kevin, what to buy, what to sell?
Yeah, I'm selling this Knicks team now. It's a basketball tragedy that this Knicks team doesn't get to be complete going into the playoffs. And now they have a playoff matchup against a very complete Orlando Magic team. Paolo Banchero last night with his 10th 30-point game. That is the most by any Magic person since Dwight Howard 13 years ago. This is a special team who at this point should beat the Knicks in the first
round. Much like I said to Marcel, I appreciate your hometown Orlando getting a shout-out. Some might say you're dancing on the Knicks' graves here. All right. On the decision here that we're going to have Randle out for the year, what does it mean, Justin Tinsley?
I mean, it's expected, but it's still absolutely brutal. You don't replace 24-9-5 in the playoffs. And the thing that really hurts if you're a Knicks fan, when Brunson, Randle, and OG played together, they were 12-1. So, yes, this is a huge blow to their playoff future. But guess what? Players play hard for Tibbs. I'm not making some grand proclamation. They play hard for them. So don't expect them to roll over come the playoffs because they absolutely will not.
Marcel Louis-Jacques.
Yeah, building on Justin's point, not only were they 12-1 in the 13 games with their big three together, but they were the top defensive team in the NBA. They led the NBA in defensive rating and overall net rating. Without Randle in the lineup, they are 15-14. I am selling them as a contender in the East. The worst question to ask in the world is what if, and that is what Knicks fans are asking for the next calendar year.
And Woody Page.
They were going to be a hard out. Now this makes them a strikeout, I think. However, I watched them the other night against the Nuggets, and I think they're at least trying to come together. And although Kevin Clark, off the air, viewers, says we when he refers to the Orlando Magic, I'm thinking that you, Kevin Clark, will have a struggle against the Knicks because your team hasn't figured out how to win the playoffs for, what, 10 years? Give me a break.
The struggle for Clark's going to be paying for those courtside tickets you're going to get for every game, I imagine. 50 off the bench last night. You ever seen that before in a basketball game? Malachi Flynn for the Pistons. Anybody know what Flynn averaged coming into the game? It's the lowest point total.
5 points.
Yes, Marcel. I heard you. I heard you, Marcel. The lowest point total for someone to score 50 ever. And it came off the bench. Woody, how impressive is 50 off the bench? What's the most impressive part?
I'll tell you something, Tony, that you didn't realize. He's the first guy to ever score 50 points off the bench when he'd played for two previous teams in this season. This is his third team. However, the guys who had done it previously off the bench were both starters for much of their careers. So this is a great accomplishment for a young man that is being kind of shoved around the league.
Well, Woody, I'll give you a chance for bonus points. You alluded to it. Who are the two players 50 off the bench? You call them starters. I don't know if one of them is, but go ahead, please.
Well, Kenny Anderson was in and out of
Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson. You're already going the wrong way. That's your Magic shout out. The other, anyone know? I'm giving free points away.
It's Jamal Crawford.
Yes, that's the bench leader of all time there, Jamal Crawford. Good job, Tins. Marcel, how impressive is 50 off the bench?
Individually, it's incredible. Not only did he drop the 50 piece, he led Detroit in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. It's awesome. But I can't break my attention away from the fact that they still lost this game, Tony. Yeah. And it wasn't just a lot. They lost by 8. They're down by 22 at one point. In a season already marred by this lengthy losing streak, they keep finding ways to hit new lows in a way that is uniquely Pistonian.
Pistonian. As a Tony, I resemble that remark. Tinsley, now the idea is 50 is incredible. 50 off the bench, it blows your mind. But if you consider the way points are being scored in the NBA now, how impressive is it?
I'm still calling it impressive. He's the only player in NBA history to drop 50 off the bench while still shooting 70% from the field. Put that on my tombstone. Now, the flip side, as Marcel just said, if you're a Pistons fan, you mean to tell me the highlight of our season was a 50-piece and it came in an L? How the hell does this get better? I don't know, Tony. I don't have the answers to that.
And Kevin Clark.
Yeah, I liked the confidence this morning when he said this was not a fluke. It is a fluke, I'm sorry to say, Malachi, because he is the 5.2 points is the least by a 50-point scorer in history by 2 full points. Terrence Ross is on that list. Corey Brewer is on that list. Tony Delk. It is not an illustrious group of guys who average single digits in their career and still score 50 points, but I love this. It's a great accomplishment for him. Congratulations, Malachi.
Woody Page firing on one piston today. There you go. Take off the jacket. Justin Kinsey, thanks for your time. Marcel Louis-Jacques, Kevin Clark. That's our showdown next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
UConn's plane issues. They had a 7-hour delay yesterday for mechanical and flight crew issues, so they didn't make it to Phoenix until 3:15 a.m. Today's media day, the NCAA gave the student athletes a break and told them you don't need to talk to you people on media day. Dan Hurley, still scheduled for an hour from now. I'm sure he'll be pleasant. Marcel, one bad day of travel. 2 days before the big game, something or nothing.
Tony, it says something about how dominant UConn has been in this tournament that their toughest opponent to date now has been this airplane. Teams love adversity. If anything, this is just going to be another chip on their
shoulder. Oh, this is good for them. Oh, okay. I love when you guys argue that. Kevin Clark, please.
Yeah, Danny Hurley is going to come out and say the FAA just didn't believe in UConn. That's why they weren't able to take off. I think this is something. I had a 5-hour delay over the weekend coming back from Florida, but here I am in showdown. I fought through it, but it's not going to be enough to matter. The best players got on the plane. They will win that championship.
Marcel, I got to look at your stats since you had the plane problems when you were covering the Dolphins in Europe and you were stuck in Germany. You guys look like you could both be in a cockpit right now, piloting a plane, especially with that mustache on Clark. We'll give you points for that. We'll move on. Shohei Ohtani, first home run as a Dodger, 430 feet. He says he's relieved that his swing hasn't been great so far. Kevin Clark, it's been, a month you can't even explain. For Ohtani, with the debut and with the loss of money and the gambling and the scandal, is he back?
No, because we have a very low bar for him, and that's not what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the best player in baseball or close to it. I have a very high bar for distractions, and I do believe this is one. This clears it. $4.5 million going from his bank account and investigation, so I understand his mind being somewhere else right now.
Ohtani prides himself on structure, and so it's kind of to be expected to struggle after a big change in routine, like changing jobs like this. I think this home run, sometimes you got to see the ball go over the fence. He's back. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Clark, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, all right. So there was a report in The Athletic yesterday that said that 80 schools are being proposed for a new college football super league. A handful of heavy hitters are on board. I do not think this particular plan is going to work. 80 schools is a lot. The TV deals are sort of wrapped up right now. But I do think This is the future. Everybody getting on board and understanding that this is going to be revenue sharing, paying players. The Super League is coming.
But if you have relegation, everyone has to be available. You can't just say the big teams can't get relegated.
There's already relegation. The SEC and the Big...